You are listening to Troy and Tyler on Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. We are a weekly trucking podcast, and all we talk about is trucking-related material and trucking only. Tyler, tell them how they can find us.
Yeah, you can definitely find us on TalkCDL.com, our number one spot. Also, Facebook.com/TalkCDL to listen to the show, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and any other podcasting app that you want. You can find us there. Thank you so much. Enjoy the episode. Hey, did you get that video I sent you on Facebook earlier?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one you shot over to me on Facebook on the messenger part. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a tanker. It was a day cab tanker, you know, but we respect day cabbers. And I think...
I don't.
Yeah, yeah. He was...
Local drivers. I don't like local drivers.
So it's been snowing here, and it's the middle of winter, right? And this tanker, he stopped at a stoplight, and it's kind of on a little bit of an angle, and we're in blizzard conditions. And this trucker goes to pull out.
Local driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kidding.
And I think it was an owner-operator, too.
an owner-operator.
And, okay. And he goes and he gets right in the middle of this four-way intersection here that actually leads to the mall and everything else. It's a busy intersection, and he gets stuck right there.
Is he stuck right on level ground on ice?
He's not really on level ground. It's on an angle, but the main thing that I was thinking here is this. What he didn't do is he didn't put his lockers on or nothing before he got going. He waited until after he got stuck to put on his lockers.
And, his transaxle? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's like rookie mistake right there. So I don't know. He didn't have chains on or nothing. I don't know where he was headed or whatever. But
hey, you know what, Tyler? I was watching, it's funny about videos, not too long ago, a few minutes ago, I was watching a video on an autonomous truck, and I got to thinking, what if that local tanker would have been an autonomous truck instead of a driver?
Right. So you think, see, this is my thought process on that. The autonomous truck would have noticed the weather conditions, would have seen that it was snowing, and automatically had its lockers on to start with.
You know what? Personally, I don't think that they have accomplished autonomous trucks to drive in snow, because most of your autonomous trucks now rely on the white lines of the road. So I don't think that autonomous truck has been built to run in those conditions yet.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I mean, my truck, when it realizes it's winter out, it tells me, it yells at me, hey, maybe you should be in four-wheel drive right now. I don't know.
Really?
But, yeah. Wow. With that being said, though, we're kind of talking about, after seeing a couple videos and some new evidence, you know, we're kind of re-bringing up this whole pros and cons of trucks, right? That's what this is.
Oh, well, you know, it's just, to be honest with you, what got me started more today is that video. And I think it was in another country, but it was a tractor trailer. I think it was a Tesla. I sent it to you. And it was going straight down the interstate. And then all of a sudden a car wrecks. And we actually, the video's on CDL Life, which you're going to upload it also to Talk CDL. But all of a sudden the truck just stops while an accident's taking place in front of it. An SUV and a car collide somehow, and the SUV looks like it rolls. And the autonomous truck, impressively, I got to say this, impressively stops. But what amazed me the most, Tyler, is this. Okay, so we just actually paused the show for a second, and Tyler actually wanted to give me a quick correction on the information that we were putting out there. That Tesla that comes to an actual abrupt stop and safely stops while there's a major accident happening in front of it, it's actually a car, not a tractor trailer. But we would say it's still going to be the same technology, the same software, the same type of brain, although obviously a semi-truck brain is going to have to be a little smarter than the car. But the bottom line with it is it was very impressive. If anybody wants to see the video, you know, obviously go to TalkCDL.com or CDL Life, and you can see this Tesla in action. And what, Tyler, I thought was more impressive, if you watch that video, that accident is about to happen because of something that messes up in front of it. And that's when that self vehicle starts stopping, not after a crash happens.
It was actually predicted. It predicted it, because what it did is the Tesla can tell how fast the vehicles are moving around it, in front of it and everything. So it recognized that the vehicle straight in front of it was going at a speed faster than the vehicle in front of that vehicle, and realize that it just was not going to make it around it in time, and it clipped the rear end, and it just predicted it. It used its algorithm, its mathematics, and whose ever brain created that, and it literally just noticed it. It was super impressive.
And look, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Now, we've talked about autonomous vehicles before. We've got articles on them and we've seen them. And most drivers are up in arms over it. But I will tell you, I am starting to sway on the more positive side to it. So we went and we found some pros and cons and really two autonomous driven vehicles. Okay, what's good about them, what's bad about them, Tyler? I want to pull up a couple of the pros versus the bad things on these vehicles and let everybody be their own judge. But I think by no means it's here to take the place of the driver. It's just going to require a different type of driver. Tyler, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think we mentioned the auto before, and this is kind of along the lines of the autonomous trucks and everything. And the auto was a truck that recently, I think it was in June or something like that. I want to say it delivered 50,000 cans of Budweiser from one part of Colorado to another. I think it was a 120-mile trip. For 2 hours of the interstate, the guy just sat in the back. But there still needed to be a trucker in there. So no, I don't think it's going to replace them. I think that we're going to see these attachments happen first. And fully autonomous is just so far in the future. But I think this list we have here is kind of a top 20 or something from this website, and they got some other sources in here that they reference and stuff from other websites, but especially the DOT is one of them and a bunch of others. So let's get to that.
Well, and we may not get through the whole thing, but
No.
we'll start here with the pros, the positives of self-driving vehicles. And the first one says, in comparison to a myriad of bad behavior of drivers might exhibit behind the wheel, a computer is actually an ideal motorist since 81% of car crashes are the result of human error. Computers would take a lot of danger out of the equation entirely. That's true. I mean, it really is true. Most of it is human error. And we're going to get to the part that we'll be playing with the vehicles in the future here in a second. So again, I'd like to stress to all drivers out there, I don't believe autonomous trucks are here to replace us. I think they're going to be here more to enhance us. But again, it's the future, and we might as well come into the future. Tyler, number two, you want to read that or you want me to?
You can read it, but I just want to mention that this is from autoinsurancecenter.com. The link will be in the show notes on Tuxedo.com. And every one of these facts have other backlinks to other reputable sources. So it's not just a bunch of these people saying their opinions. But go ahead with number two.
Again, and these are the positives. This is number
Positive.
two pro. Computers use complicated algorithms
Algorithms.
to how do you pronounce that? Algorithms? Gorth?
Algorithms.
Algorithms. That sounds so stupid. All right. So they use complicated algorithms to determine appropriate stopping distance from another vehicle, and other data that decreases the chance of car accidents dramatically. And Tyler, that video we just watched was a
Right.
perfect example of
Perfect
that. Like you said,
example.
it computed how close not it was being with other vehicles, or any vehicle was close to itself, but it computed the two vehicles ahead of it that they were getting too close to each other, and it predicted an accident. It was 100% correct. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, and it reminds me of like yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yesterday, I got cut off from a old Dodge, whatever the case is. When I seen this accident, when I listened to this, it makes me think of that moment when I got cut off. Irritates me a little bit at the same time. But and I think about it, I'm like, how fast was I able to react when this truck had cut me off and I had put on my brakes? But also to be, I can't wrap my mind around it. Obviously, I mean, this thing's smarter than I am, but it's impressive. It's just crazy that I can do that. I don't even know.
Well, Tyler, I was actually looking for the r human reaction versus a computer reaction time. I couldn't find it, but I know I had read about or heard about it in times past, where a computer, like it just said on that Tesla, it's always monitoring everything around it. It doesn't stop monitoring things versus we as humans, we're thinking of other things. We're doing this, we're doing that. And when something is happening, I know myself, my wife even, I mean, I'm the first one to go, you got the worst reaction time in the world, man. You don't even know how to duck, you know? So it's almost like humans, we all of a sudden something happens and then our brain's got to go, something's happening. Then we've got to go, oh, I need to react, until our brains realize it and compute it. And we actually put our foot down. Is actually, it might only be a half a second, but that's a half a second in travel time is a long distance before we've even pressed the pedal compared to the autonomous vehicle. And again, I'm not here as an advocate to autonomous vehicles. I'm just here to read the facts. Tyler, go ahead.
Right. And I think that's important to know, is like we're just bringing these kind of these facts and everything that we're seeing kind of evolve, because we've been covering these trucks for about a year now. You know, on our podcast, and we've slowly but surely, there's been new cases and new cases, far more cases where these, you know, these Teslas and other autonomous vehicles are proving themselves than not proving themselves. So it's going to be interesting. But I think that in time, like we can't focus on multiple things as easily as something that's programmed to do all those things at once can. I think we transmit data in our brains. I think our brains are more powerful than a computer in the sense that we can actually send signals quicker, but we can't do multiple signals and compute them as fast. It's crazy. But what do we got for number three?
Well, that was number three. Did I read number three? There are no opportunities to be distracted, which is a leading cause of accidents in the United States at present. I'm going to read four and five. Although it's not clear to what extent lives would be saved, it's obvious that human-driven cars come at a very high cost in terms of danger. That's number four. But number five really goes with it, because it says the U.S. Department of Transportation, and Tyler, I never knew this, but it says the U.S. Department of Transportation actually assigns a value to each human life. And that value that the United States Department of Transportation puts on people is $9.2 million. And I'm not understanding that, but let me read the rest of it. It says, therefore, there would be a significant cost savings in many different venues, like insurance costs and healthcare costs associated with accident recovery alone. The $9.2 million I don't get, because when most people get in lawsuits and all that other stuff, they don't get near $9.2 million, even for loss of life. I don't see that usually happening. But hey, you know what? This is stuff coming from autoinsurancecenter.com. Like you said, we'll plug them once again. What do you think of that, Tyler?
Yeah, and that actually, that figure that they mentioned is actually from a PDF that the transportation.gov website came out with. But I think what that kind of number comes from is what that person's estimated to earn in their lifetime, plus the value that they have on their family members and a bunch of other things. I don't know. I was just actually watching an article about that, ironically. But I think that it's hard pressed to say that just because, you know, okay, so what are they going to do now? They're going to say, okay, 9.2 million per person. There's however many deaths in the U.S. So these trucks are saving this much money. I think I don't really see where this value is really kind of a pro.
And Tyler, you know, the value might come. I just, for some reason, just thought of this. I think that they might put that value on each human that pays their taxes over a lifetime, contributes to the economy, and does in every way, whether they own a business or they're in their communities, they buy things at the stores. That might be what they're talking about as far as a value. That's what each human being actually might average out at spending over a lifetime and be worth to the population of the United States. I'll bet you that's what it is. Hey, I redeem myself from the dumb pronunciation of
algorithms. there's a bunch of, it's all about lawsuits, you know, that figure is based off of, but I there's a bunch of different ways you can spin that, but.
Anyways. Tyler, I've got something here on number six, and I got to be honest with you. I like number six, but it comes with a price for me. I'm going to read it first and we'll talk about it. Number six, the pros and cons. We're reading the pros of self-driving vehicles, according to autoinsurancecenter.com. It says, number six says, as an article from Forbes points out, there is also cost savings associated with time. When a computer takes over the driving responsibilities, drivers can use that time to do other things like catch up on reading or chat with passengers, all without having to worry too much about road safety. And I got to tell you, Tyler, I think that that would really be cool. It might happen once a year or even three times in a year where I'll tell my wife, you go ahead and drive. I'm going to sit back and listen to music and read and try to do a few things over here. But I'm being honest, I'm such a control freak. I could never, when I was a driver, I couldn't team with anybody. I could never sleep while someone was driving. So I don't know how much I'll be able to trust a computer the rest of my life. I think the young generations, even the ones below you, are going to be more apt to adapt to this a lot better than even you or I are, only because most of our lives, in fact, all of our lives have always been us driving or someone else, human being driving. And now we have to rely on some computer that we've got 10 million reasons why we think it's going to break down. Tyler, go ahead, buddy.
So my first thing on that, and I can see where you're saying, okay, yeah, we're more technology driven and things like that. But at the same time, if you look at the people that own Teslas, those people are the people that have the money, that have like established careers already. So they actually have them. So they're actually like upper, like around your age more than us. But I think really the Tesla, I feel like these trucks and these autonomous things are things that people buy not so much for the leisure of it right now, but more of the bragging rights. So I think I think that's why we kind of see that upper level of age being having that money to be able to spend on these vehicles. Even though I did just look this up, and it's only like right around $900 a month to buy one of these things if you're loaning it out or whatever. But
hey, if you got 900 a month,
hey, below. You got 900 hey, a month. I don't,
Tyler, I want to remind you of something. Do you remember that Tesla? It was a Tesla here in South Florida where that guy was killed in back here in 2016, about in the summer sometime, because the computer did not recognize the truck was almost the same color as the sky background.
Yep.
It pulled in front of him and it never even seen it. It just drove right through the truck and it was
right.
It killed the guy in the Tesla. Well, he was sitting back enjoying, I think they said he was either reading or he was playing a video game or something, because his car was driving and he never even seen it coming. Boom.
See,
dead, relying on the being a passenger, enjoying, he's dead now. Okay. See, that's why I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. But at the same time, man, if my argument with that would be, I mean, that's an advancement in technology. Yeah. At this time, they said Tesla was saying not to do that. Of course, this guy was like, whatever, I trust my vehicle. And it saved him in the past, I guess, I think is what that article actually said. But I think with any, as the advancement of different things are, even when we first created our first vehicles, I mean,
as first, a doornail.
Yeah. Dead as a doornail. He was creamed.
Bit the big one.
I don't know. We're going to have incidences where when you're programming things, you can't plan for every single anomaly, right? Heck, how many times have I been driving here in North Dakota or Alaska or these other places where it's like snowy and in the wintertime? Sometimes you can't tell like where the road ends and begins, and you can't tell where the turns are. I mean, I had that same issue. I mean, I've blew past a turn before.
He kicked the bucket. He's pushing up daisies.
You know, this guy, I don't know how good I feel like morally about talking about this dude like being dead. Like, that's kind of messed up.
He's taking a dirt nap.
He's taking a dirt nap.
It's true though. He trusted a car, and I tell you right now, you know, I probably can develop a better trust after maybe 3 million people went the last 100,000 miles and there's only been a minor scrape or two. But if I'm the first guy in the United States driving around with a Tesla, my hands are on the wheel. I'm not putting the guy down. Okay. Right. I'm just saying, you know, he trusted the car,
but
went on and was playing video games. And now he's dead.
At the same note, we all trust our electronics like nobody's business. Our phones, we trust everything else.
You can't even compare that.
Of course you can.
I trust my phone.
Of course you can.
Yeah, I don't trust my car.
How many people got put in the hospital for the Note 7 that just came out? I mean, we trust the technology now because it's a normal part of life.
I don't trust my car.
I don't know. Everything in a vehicle now is electronic to me. So I don't see much of the difference between giving it cruise control to me is just as dangerous as it controlling than driving itself for some reason. I don't know.
Let's move on. Check this out. Number seven. According to Eno Transportation, self-driving cars in large numbers participate in a behavior known as platooning. I never heard of that, but it makes sense because of a platoon. You would know that you're in a service. It says, which would significantly improve traffic conditions and congestion. This would help to reduce commute times for drivers in high traffic areas, but also to maximize on gasoline usage. So basically the vehicles get in line and they know when to pass each other. If one's turning or whatever the case is, that's a pretty significant. And I actually had thought of that. It's almost like the vehicle's already going to know I need to be in this lane now because I'm making a turn up ahead. I think it would probably be pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it's actually a really common thing. And I'm just going to call these robotics because that's what they are. Even with drones for years now, for at least 10 years, MIT, I think, was the first class. They were able to take drones and make them fly sequentially together, like multiple, like 100 different drones fly together. And they know when to turn and everything because they can actually talk to each other. And I could see this, especially in cities and stuff like that, being a big thing where these vehicles can speak with each other. And say you got one load, rather than team driving, or we see multiple different, you know, 18-wheelers, you know, we'll say it like they're saying it, platooning together in one direction. Now, you know, they can do that and they can all turn together. They don't have to worry about communicating like over voice. I don't know. Okay. Every single time that I think about these kind of things right now, all that can really pop in my mind is all the pileups that we've been having and seeing that Tesla video and being able to alleviate that from happening. And automatically just this winter, how many lives would we have saved? So I don't know. It's still, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that video.
And Tyler, number eight kind of goes what you were just saying about the drones. Number eight says, in order for cars to operate most efficiently, they'd need to communicate with one another, helping to identify traffic problems or road risks early on. And, you know, see, that's the one thing. And I guess we'll get that into the negatives later on, but I want to go on being noted as things break down. That's the one thing everything being built is still built by humans and thought up by humans. And we have never built anything that doesn't break down ever. Even your best vehicles eventually come to a breakdown period. And that's probably where your accidents and things are going to start happening when things automatically break down. But we'll get to that a little later. How about number nine? Number nine's big, Tyler. I actually really like number nine. It says disabled individuals who have to rely on public transportation or assistance from others to get around could reap the benefits of self-driving cars with new freedom and enhanced mobility, as suggested by the New York Times. And that is a big one because there are a lot of, you know, you see these vans and stuff that drive disabled people around and they've got all kind of help to get them in and out and all this other stuff. The self-driving vehicle is going to do all that for them. I mean, that's a good thing, at least in that part.
Yeah, I think it can definitely help get people out and doing things in this kind of sense. I could definitely see that for sure.
Number 10, large cities are plagued with the problem of providing adequate public transportation. Many have a lack of appropriate infrastructure to support the needs of their residents, a void that could partially be filled by self-driving cars. I want to actually be disagreeing with that one a little more, only because the cities are so packed now. They need to get a lot of the vehicles out of there, you know. I mean, I could be right or wrong there.
Could you imagine them all being platooning and being in sequential to each other? Like, it wouldn't seem like there's as much traffic, probably.
I would say this, and here's where I can get negative on that. I've been in New York City. You take that. That's like one of the worst there is. You get in New York City. Now you have a few million vehicles, okay, every day running there. Okay, at least a million vehicles running around, right? Out of that million, remember we just talked about vehicles are going to break down, right? You cannot tell me that you're not going to have something broke down. In fact, my guess is there's going to be times through the year where you have maybe one in each lane broke down, which almost doesn't enable these vehicles to get around each other. I think that there's going to come. There's some really difficult tasks that they have to get over with this. I'm not saying that it can't be done, and I'm sure that it can, just like that Tesla that we just watched, but I think there's some tough tasks.
I feel like of one of these vehicles would honestly probably handle a broken down vehicle better than anyone who lives in New York City. Like you see just people getting flipped off and angry because someone's broken down in front of them. This Tesla's not gonna care. It's just gonna detour. It's gonna wait. It's gonna get in the left lane or whatever. And I don't know. We'll see how that kind of plays around, especially when you have something like an autonomous truck that's trying to maneuver through New York City and deal with those kind of things. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see. So that was 10 of the pros. Do we want to move to some of the cons now?
Yeah, before we do though, there was another article I was talking about earlier, and you and I were talking about that I was reading, and they brought up a valid point. I don't know if it's going to be in this, and I want to, before my brain even forgets to mention this, Tyler, remember they were talking about in the other article how really where a lot of the problems are going to be is going to be because you've got a lot of humans driving alongside your computer-operated vehicles, and they suggest that a lot of accidents are going to be obviously because of humans, driving. And my question would be, is there going to be a law ever outlawing human drivers, or are we going to be taking? Because here's what I think about. Number one, it's no secret that out of every country in the world, that the United States is known for their muscle car lovers, their luxury car lovers, all that stuff where they love to get out and put their hands on that wheel and go for a drive and enjoy the drive. So my observation or question to the industry or to you, Tyler, is there going to be a, do you see a law outlawing human beings? And if so, will that not decrease the drive for muscle cars and everything that we all like to get in and drive? I mean, what's going to come of that? And then also, what about people that grow up to be race car drivers? Where are they're not really going to have the skills of practicing as a 16-year-old driving a car. There's a lot of stuff that's going to come with this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's years and years and years down the road before both of, well, my lifetime and probably, even my kids' lifetime before we see the banning of human drivers. Because, I mean, you'd have the infrastructure of the highways. I mean, everything would have to change. You're talking mass scale, And I think if that did happen, number one, I think maybe I should buy like an old Camaro or Mustang, keep in the garage for the next 200 years or something, because that thing is going to be worth like millions, if they ban human beings from driving. But even now, I think that I think we can't go 100 miles an hour on the regular highway, but if we go to a racetrack, we can. So I feel like even then, we would kind of we'd have something. But I don't know. Maybe if I don't know, one of the California senators or something become president one day, we probably it'll probably happen. Who knows?
Okay.